This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is the spot. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard here on a Thursday, beginning the hour by talking some college football as a professional sports bettor. Brad Powers joins the program here on the Progressive Guest Line. Brad, good to talk to you as always. Follow him on X at BradPower7. Website is bradpowersports.com. You're no doubt going to be looking for bets to make for next year in college football already. You already have some in pocket. Your thoughts, advice for people who are like, well, Cignetti said it's a brand new world right now. I can go out and look for 100 to 1 shots or more to win it next year. Are you going to do the same thing?
I am not. I'm going to say that it's more the outlier, although I'll keep it conservative. I think instead of 3 or 4 teams, you know, what we had for 15 years, 3 or 4 teams maybe winning it all, I think that's at least doubled, maybe even tripled, where it's maybe 10 teams have a realistic shot. But, you know, Cignetti as of right now is, you know, that outlier, that 1 in a million type. So, and to the point where I don't think Indiana's going away, that's how much I respect them. Normally, yeah, I'd be looking to fade Indiana, a team that just did what they accomplished. But, you know, I think they're certainly right back in the mix. You know, as far as out as I went was Texas Tech. I bet them 25-1. I think they'll be the clear-cut favorite in the Big 12. They have the easiest schedule in the country. As far as Power 4 teams, they'll be maybe even a double-digit favorite in every game. That's about as far as I'm willing to go as of right now.
Say that again? Double-digit favorite in every game?
Oh, Paul, their schedule's laughable.
I know you mentioned it, yeah, but this, holy cow. This might be easier than the Indiana schedule.
Yeah, I mean, BYU, no Utah, nobody in the non-conference. And then, I mean, we're talking about a team that, you know, went 12-1 against the spread until they played Oregon. So, I mean, they were far and away. Look at their point differential. It was in the top 10 in college football in the last 15 years, even when counting the blowout loss to Oregon. So, and I think that they're certainly going to be better at quarterback. That was their weakness if you watch the playoff games. So, and I think defensive front maybe takes a little bit of a step back, but if you look at what they did in the portal, they did another great job at the most important position in college football, that being the defensive line. So I think they'll be just as good, if not better, than this past year's team.
Man, 2 years ago, at least Indiana played the Buckeyes. I mean, this is right. There is nothing on there for Texas Tech. That's incredible. So what do you think of Texas then? You know, with the Arch Love again and the futures on Texas as their low prices are low. What do you make Texas in some of these marquee games, and how many games are they favored in?
Yeah, I think not that I'm super wild about Texas, but I think by the end of the summer, they'll probably be the favorite. Obviously, you're going to get a lot of public love for Arch being back. There'll be a lot of hype surrounding that. But I also liked what they did in the portal, went out and got Cam Coleman, the best wide receiver in the portal, went out and got the best linebacker in the portal, the kid from Pitt. Got a great 1-2 punch at running back out of the portal, a kid from Arizona State. And then they stole a kid from NC State who was originally going to Alabama and Hollywood Smothers. So like what they did offensively, we'll see. They got a nice transfer late in the process on the offensive line from Wake Forest. It's Sark, so I'm not super confident. But what I am confident is, you know, schedule's a little bit less difficult than what it's been. And it's not like they had an overly difficult one in the last couple of years. But the big thing, the difference between last year to this year, is they get Ohio State at home. And I think they'll be favored in that game. So, if they win it, like I think they will, we'll be sitting here week 2. Texas will be the clear-cut favorite to win the title. So why not put a little bit in pocket right now?
Have you found many spots that are offering the Heisman market? And if you did, was the number right to take a peek at Arch Manning, or is it too short?
It's too short. I just, you know, last year I did bet him 12-1 at Circa. I'm not seeing that as of right now. There's only a few books up. We'll see once it becomes a little more liquid in the market if I'm willing to take a chance. But certainly he improved the last couple games of the season against A&M and Michigan. But call me, I'm not totally a believer in him after, you know, he was pretty mediocre for most of last season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. So for people who want to get involved next year, like betting this stuff very early like you do, and we're talking like almost any time now, early, mid-February, whatever it is, which books, going back to like last year, maybe the last couple of years, are the first to post, just so people can maybe like look at the apps, the websites, whatever, and say, oh, look at that, they already have conference odds up, or they have this or that. Like, which books nationally have been the first usually here?
Yeah, nationally, it's FanDuel. It's usually the first to market. They even have a few win totals up right now. LSU, Virginia Tech, and Arkansas, of all the teams, they have win totals up on those three teams. They're usually the first. DraftKings offers a few. I will say, if you're looking to bet future odds, whether it be conference futures or national championship futures or Heisman futures, then you're not first to market, but they usually have the best prices, would be a Circa Sports or even a Westgate. They usually, you know, a little bit less of the theoretical hold percentage for the book on those two. So those are usually the two that I bet a lot of the futures at.
What do you make of this Mensa mess? And what do you expect him to go if he winds up with Miami? Take it away with this situation.
I think he'll end up in Miami, but I mean, I don't see how. I mean, once they rule against him, I mean, it's crazy, creating a lot of trouble. I mean, I just think Miami probably cuts Duke a check, tells him to shut up, I guess. I mean, that's the world we live in. Dang.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, rumor was they were going to buy out that contract for $4 million and then give Mensa $6 million. So it was going to cost Miami $10 million.
Oh.
They got a lot of extra money. They pocketed the whole $20 million from the playoff run. They didn't have to share it with anybody else in the conference. So I'm expecting, you know, reading some further tea leaves, the best wide receiver at Duke, he's just recently hit the portal. Expectation, he's going to Miami. So I think they'll get those two guys. Miami won't be as good up front. That was their bread and butter on the O-line, D-line. They'll still be the ACC favorite, but I don't expect them to make another run at the title next year.
Okay. I was going to ask you, like with Crystal Ball, like did he win you over at all as the head coach of the team this year, or do you still have too many question marks?
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, certainly better than expected, but he didn't win me over. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if they would have played a cleaner game, they would have beaten Indiana. But, you know, typical fashion, you know, don't block somebody on a punt. The one touchdown Indiana had came after jumping off sides on a third down when you're going to get off the field. They went down and ended up scoring a touchdown there, among many other things. So, I think he's definitely does a good job of recruiting getting the alums to pay the bills as good as anybody. But as far as X and O, is no way.
Well, they fixed the defense. That was an incredible coaching job. How they turned it around if they couldn't get a stop last year. We've seen so many examples of Lincoln Riley's team score, but they can't stop anything. What does Gary Patterson to USC do for you?
I'm in between. I'm not going to say, oh, wow, awesome hire. I mean, he was a Hall of Fame coach, although hasn't been coached in the last couple of years. And didn't go well at the end of the TCU tenure to the point where they kind of let him go. I mean, your Hall of Fame coach going to put a statue of him outside the stadium and you let him go at the end. So I'm indifferent. I mean, USC's defense has been bad, I mean, to say the least, although they were a little bit improved under DeAnton Lynn. You look at how their season finished. I mean, it was just a typical Lincoln Riley team, you know, a third and 20 screen pass, missed 3-4 tackles. Until they get a different strength and conditioning program there, until Lincoln Riley practices different, I don't know if it matters who the DC is. They're just not a physical enough.
Okay, so they're not going to be the fourth Big Ten team in a row to win the national title next year?
No, I mean, if it were to be a different one, it'd be obviously Oregon. Dante Moore back. Their whole defensive front is back, which I think is pretty good. They don't have as much depth, but I mean, they got running backs back. They had a couple of true freshmen that really did well this past year. They got wide receivers. I mean, they're as low as anybody. The problem is, you know, schedule is a little difficult. They do have to travel to Columbus, among others. Ohio State's schedule is really difficult. So, you know, I don't know if the Big Ten makes it 4-for-4. You could talk me into Ohio State having the top power rating, but if you're looking at some of those Big Ten schedules, nobody's going unscathed. Nobody's going 16-0 or what Michigan did, you know, a couple of years ago, 15-0. I project even the best teams in the Big Ten to have one or two losses.
Okay. So maybe not a bet on this team to make like a national title at a long shot, but maybe to make the playoffs. Is there another team spending just like a boatload of money right now, crushing it in the transfer portal that could be this year's Texas Tech, last year's Indiana, one or the other?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I'm probably not there yet to find that undercover team, but I'll tell you a couple that are doing pretty well in the portal. In fact, I'll give you a bunch. UCLA is doing better than expected. I couldn't believe Bob Chesney took the job. One of the UCLA alums reached out to me, one of the big wigs, said, nope, he took the job because we're going to spend money. And that's exactly what they've done in the portal. So I think they could be better than expected in year one under Chesney. Certainly James Franklin and Virginia Tech with the ACC kind of down outside of Miami. They can make a move towards the ACC championship game with what they've done in the portal, what they did in the recruiting class. So they can make a move in that conference. Keep it also an eye on Louisville in the ACC. They've had a pretty good offseason, and they certainly could be in the mix. Obviously, they beat Miami last year. If Jeff Brohm could just be a little bit more consistent with the teams that he should beat, they're a team to look out for. And then I'll give you another first-year coach that I think could be better than expected. I like the staff that you know, has been put together in Florida, whether it be the new head coach, John Summerall, his coordinators, and what they've done in the portal. I think they could be, you know, at least a lot better than what they've been the last 5 years at Florida.
Very good. Awesome stuff, Brad. Thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Great.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers. Follow him on X at BradPower7. Yep. Website is BradPowerSports.com.
Also grabbed Miami 200-1 during the week of Selection Sunday to win it all. And he put the ticket up there as well. So he's small hedge and made out with that ticket.
The first number that I saw in Texas Tech was 14.
Yeah,
if I can find a 25-1, I have to hop on that. I did not realize.
You mentioned it on air, but to take it to that extent, double digit favorite on every. Oh my God!
Yeah, and better at quarterback,
no doubt.
And they will be really good, obviously, like in the trenches yet again. Finalists for NFL awards were announced earlier today, and the Broncos might be incapable of overcoming the biggest difference between Bo Nix and Jared Stidham. I'll tell you what it is coming up here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Today we learned of the finalists for these awards in the National Football League. Five guys now make the final run. So the five coaches of the year, no surprises. Cohen, Johnson, McDonald, Shanahan, and Vrabel. For Offensive Player of the Year, JSN, Superfly Puka Nacua, Bijan Robinson, CMC, and Drake May. Drake May made finalists for Offensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
As our buddy Weston said, who is very good at betting futures earlier today, even more confidence now in Stafford to win the MVP. But there are some voters who will vote the number two MVP guy, the number one Offensive Player of the Year. So the Stafford MVP thing, yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And he was voted first-team All-Pro from the same. No, that didn't go the same way last year because the voters gave it to Jackson, first-team All-Pro last year, and Allen won the MVP. But for the most part, that has been a thing for a long time. And there's also this. Good observation here from Aaron Schatz, who is a voter, by the way.
All right.
But this isn't anything to do with the awards. This is to do with the AFC title game. He points out that the big difference between Bo Nix and Jared Stidham, besides just experience, appears to be sack avoidance. Bo Nix took 22 sacks in 17 starts this year. Stidham took 13 in 4 starts back in 2022 and 2023. Benjamin Solak, ESPN, chimed in. Since Nix entered the league, no quarterback has a lower sack/dropback rate than he does, 3.5%. High scramble and high throwaway player avoids the negative extremely well. Huge for keeping the Broncos offense on track. That's Bo Nix. And they'll be missing some of that coming up on the game. And then the Patriots defense, they look really good last week.
No doubt.
And if they get to him, I think betting again, the sacks prop in this game, if you bet that last week with the Texans, a team prop or those individual guys, they all got there. The Hunter and the Anderson props got there. So like this week, Benito to get a sack, that's going to, I'm pretty confident that's going to happen.
Well, the guy's only started four games. So going back, I remember the 49er game, and I remember him tossing it around in the preseason, but I can't remember if he's a statue back there. I can't remember with his time.
Well, he's taken off a handful of times in those games that he played, yeah.
But a difference between Nix and Stidham, and that could be big in this one as well. And but also, you can't make the silly mistakes that what Stroud did. I mean, it was just absurd how poorly he played. And I still cannot believe the people on ESPN defending Ryans and saying, yeah, you had to keep him in the game. I mean, I just that wasn't getting enough attention about how bad it's. He's turning the ball over with four first-half interceptions off a lousy game Monday night when you have an all-time defense. The only thing you cannot do is turn the ball over, and you can play game manager, and he throws four picks, and he won't put the veteran in there who helped them get in the playoffs with a three-game winning streak while Stroud was out with the concussion.
Okay, did anybody – I haven't watched that in
– Ryan Clark, Mina Kimes, who else you want?
So did they give a logical explanation as to why, like what – it can't possibly go that bad in the second half?
He's your franchise quarterback.
That means nothing.
I know.
And no, he's not.
I know.
Why is he the franchise quarterback? Who says?
No, yeah.
They don't have to give the guy an extension.
I see where Ryan Clark was coming from, saying this is a big moment for him to see what he has inside and upstairs if he can pull this off. Because that was just horrendous, and you pointed out the body language as well. So it also was like a kind of a big moment in his career. How will he play in the second half? Can he rally the team? Whatever. But everything that went wrong, it's still a 5-point game.
Right.
And he wouldn't make the change.
No,
he's killing him.
If the Texans were serious, again, I said this on Monday, if they were serious short term, they made the move. Making a move from Stroud to Mills in that game would have been about winning that game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not doing that was about the future of CJ Stroud. And to me, that's a huge mistake because I think if they give that guy, hell, I would say this, giving him like the fifth year option right now, I don't even know if I would do that, but signing him to one of these huge quarterback contracts where it's going to be 5 years, $250 million, out of their minds. Not even an option right now, in my opinion. Because the guy keeps getting worse, and in the big moments, how many more examples do you need?
I think it sends a bad message to the rest of the locker room, too. Like, well, what does this guy have to do to get benched?
Yeah, right.
He keeps screwing up, and he's killing us.
Every time we get the ball back, he's giving it right back to the opposing team. Meanwhile, they can't get an inch on offense.
Yeah.
So we're killing ourselves to do our job, and...
And what happened the previous year? They lost a low-scoring game in Kansas City.
And he was so bad against the Steelers in that Monday night game.
Yes. Like so, 7 turnovers in 2 games. Come on, Ryans.
For the future.
You have a good guy back there.
Like, let's think about that a little bit more here. Right? Stroud has to be the guy in the second half because he's the franchise guy and he's the future. That is one of the dumbest reasons that you could possibly come up with to keep him in the game. They should take a quarterback in the first round this year. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but dumb. They did not have to do that at all. Nobody said that. There's no fine print. There's no law that says they have to keep that guy. By the way, the egos and the fact that you can't go to a backup quarterback is so preposterous because it might damage the ego. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
There's also this. You brought this up yesterday. One of the bold predictions that they had at ESPN was that the Ravens could trade Lamar Jackson to the Las Vegas Raiders. Right, and people have been talking this a little bit more now, how this would make sense. Baltimore to get out of that contract. The salary cap hit on Jackson is so severe. And then this would be like the franchise guy, and now the Raiders finally have their number one quarterback. So the write-up, and this got aggregated, and one of the sites that put it out there was Pro Football Network. And the person who wrote this said that from the Ravens' perspective, this would be a complete reset. Quarterback and head coach would need answers. But there is no doubt that the number one pick would be on its way to Baltimore. No doubt. They continued, the Raiders would have to give up the number one, but that would be the main trade asset from the Las Vegas side. Instantly, the team would be competing for the playoffs. Instantly, the Raiders are competing for the playoffs with Lamar Jackson.
In that division? Come on. He's always hurt, too.
So Lamar Jackson is 29 years old. He has played 8 full years in the league. He has almost 1,200 carries under his belt. 1,200 as a quarterback. And he only ran it 67 times this year, by far the fewest of his career. Why? Hurt again.
Yes.
Played 13 games, and he's been hurt and missed time before. He's 29 years old.
Pissed off the coaching staff. He wouldn't practice a lot either.
Does he have 5 years left?
Yeah.
Six, the way he plays? Again, I'm on record. The Raiders, I love Lamar Jackson. You're out of your minds to give up the number one pick for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. If you want to trade for him, fine. Come up with a different package. It can't be the number one pick. So we have breaking news.
What do you say? Okay. Well, Kelce had that. I mean, it was all the steam the last 24 hours. Minter to Baltimore. So that kept going up, up, and up. And then was it last night? Earlier this morning, he canceled another interview in Cleveland.
That's when it took off that he was going to be the guy in Baltimore.
Okay, so there you go.
All right. So that's another right. – that I think makes some sense. I know people in Baltimore, they were saying that if they go the D.C. route, that he's going to have to be the guy. They really like that idea. Okay. So there's another guy off the market, and the Ravens gig has been filled. Isn't that funny how the good teams, for the most part, have filled their jobs already, and the bad teams are still out there waiting?
No kidding.
Don't know what they're going to do. No game plan.
Yep.
The Bills will probably be next with who they're going to fill it with.
Dable?
He's the favorite right now.
Okay, yeah. That'd be interesting.
I can't.
There also is some steam with Davis Webb out here, too.
To Las Vegas.
Yes, yes. And that was, what'd you guys say? Was Gruden 31 when they hired him? So maybe, 31, 30 years old isn't that, but that with no play calling experience, that would be a shocker. But that guy is that's a hot name, and he's up there in a lot of the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a lot of steam in Buffalo if that could get done. It's because of the being close friends with Josh Allen, and the Denver thinks the world of the guy. Who knows? There'll be more surprises coming. Cleveland, let's go.
Yeah, I know. That's
Cleveland.
Another one.
Because you got to inherit the quarterback mess.
Is that what's going to happen now?
What, Yudinsky?
No. Is it going to be where, okay, Minter was a hot name for several jobs. Baltimore doesn't waste time. The Bills will probably have their coach filled by the end of this weekend. Are we really going to come down to the Browns and the Raiders as the last two openings, and they're going to have no game plan, and it's going to be like, oh, my God, they settled for who?
Well, no one wanted the job. Yeah.
I mean, I
agree with what McDaniel did. I'd rather be the OC in Los Angeles than coach the Browns.
How attractive is the Vegas job? You get to live out in this city. The weather's awesome pretty much year-round.
He will get rid of you after 1 or 2 years, though.
There are no state taxes.
Yeah.
You are...
No talent.
You're getting the number one overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the sexiest job by any stretch of the imagination, but there are some things that would, should be a magnet for some of these guys, and I don't know if it's going to be.
No, you're way behind the rest of the teams in the division.
I know.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2-15, and you're looking up at Denver, the Chiefs, and the Chargers. Getting ready for big game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using code FTM. Every best bet, every host, every guest, the DK and Circa betting splits, 24/7 video, full show replays, our March Madness guide, Super Bowl guide as well, and picks. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code FTM. Save $60 off the annual subscription. Code FTM. Get it now.
There is a really good card this weekend in the UFC. And our buddy, Uncle Lou Finicaro, is going to join the program coming up next. He has his weekly write-ups on the website, vsin.com. We get Patty Pimblett versus Justin Gaethje in the main event. Lou loves his dogs. How does he feel about Gaethje? Around plus $2. We'll ask him that and get a rundown of his other best bets next here on VSiN. Welcome back. Pretty awesome card this weekend in the UFC. And to talk about it now, we go out to the Progressive guest line. Our buddy, Uncle Lou Finicaro, joins the program. Follow him on X at GamLou. Also, the Bout Business podcast. What's up, partner?
Guys, I'm tickled that it's this time of year. We get to talk a little bit about the UFC heading into the finals of the NFL season. I'm happy to be on.
Okay, so let's start with the main event. Patty Pimblett taking on Justin Gaethje. Pimblett about minus 240. Gaethje, you can find as high as plus 205. At least that was a little bit before the show started when I was looking around different books. Your breakdown of this fight, Lou?
My breakdown of this fight revolves a lot around the age. Gaethje is 37 years old, Pimblett 31. That's 6 years. 6 years represents 62%. In that, fighters younger than their opponent by 6 years or more win 62% of the time, and the more the youth advantage, the more that percentage goes up. The UFC absolutely wants Pimblett to win this fight because he represents a similar scenario to the co-main events, Sean O'Malley. That's lightning in a bottle. They love the Scouser accent. They love the England draw. This guy is international. He's mouthy, and he puts and will put well more butts in the seat in future fights for them. So that's why we went to Paramount, and they definitely want Paddy Pimblett to win the fight. Can he win the fight? I think he does have the tools to win the fight. Gaethje has shown susceptibility to having his back taken and being submitted. It's not a fight that I am on, other than I believe when we get down to another parlay, the main event to start round three, I do believe that's a very good, strong consideration at a minus 150.
Okay, excellent. Another guy they want to win is O'Malley, who's a $2 favorite. How do you want to play O'Malley? Who do you want to put him with?
Yeah, O'Malley I used in a parlay, and I wrote this up on the VSiN Digital Magazine this week. I believe O'Malley, the key to this fight against Yadong, who's a powerful striker and has good, capable wrestling, is feet. We're in a 30-foot cage. O'Malley will control space with his feet, with his adroit ability to move and evade strikes. And this is a pitter-patter paint job over the course of three rounds. I think O'Malley wins in a one-sided decision, but he also represents lightning in a bottle. And they would love to get him past this fight into a rematch with current champion Petr Yan, who these two guys, O'Malley and Yan, fought a few years ago. O'Malley won in a razor-close split decision that he shouldn't have won.
Okay, so O'Malley then, again, at that price, you're looking to hook him up in a parlay that would pay about plus 125 with somebody else on the card. Who is that fighter?
Yes, thank you for steering me back that way, Mitch. The other fighter on the card is a flyweight, and his name is Charles Johnson. He's fighting a guy in Alex Perez, who's been wildly inactive since 2020, six fights. Johnson's had 11. He's longer, taller, more violent, and in that large cage, two small flyweights are going to look like two flies in a barrel. But Johnson's got power, and that size and range is going to be make it really tough for Alex Perez to engage and get inside so he can grapple and wrestle. And so for that reason, Charles Johnson with Sean O'Malley together, one unit will bring you a plus 125 return.
Excellent. How about the unique way you're playing the Allen fight?
Yeah, I'm playing it unique because I'm conservative and I want to cash a ticket. This price opened with Jean Silva, the barking Brazilian, at minus 150. His number has absolutely ballooned. That's disrespectful to Allen. The issue with Allen is that he is a little similarly to Perez. He hasn't been that active. And so that can really bring out some lethargy, maybe a little rust, if you'll excuse the expression. But Allen has never been finished in his career. He's tough, he's durable, got great wrestling, and he's going to give Jean Silva all he wants. I believe this fight goes to decision. If I can get Allen plus 3.5 points at a plus price, I think that's a very, very sound way to approach that fight.
All right. Another dog, Krylov, plus $1.30 in his fight. Make the case for this dog.
Yeah, in this particular case, I'm getting the worst of it, guys, because Bukauskas, the Lithuanian fighter, has won four in a row, but against dog meat competition, excuse me saying that, and Bukauskas opened minus 200, the original take back on Krylov, plus 170. So I'm getting the worst of the number here, but I like Krylov for his well-roundedness. I like the fact that who he has been in with really sets him up well here. Yes, he's lost his last two fights, but he's lost his last two fights to Guskov and Dominic Reyes, the guys that are ranked fighters. Level of competition is how I'm handicapping this one. And Krylov as a dog, I'm all about.
Okay, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Lou Finicaro, our guest, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Podcast is called Bout Business. You're going to see a couple of plus prices next to some recognizable names in this sport. One, let's begin on the ladies' side. Rose Namajunas, who has been dynamite in her career, is plus 330 now. I think that was at Circa before the show started. But you want to go the other way and get creative here as well. How do you want to bet Natalia Silva?
Yeah, Natalia Silva open minus 150. That number was wrong. Now she's standing in for Alexa Grasso. That's who Rose was initially supposed to fight. Rose has had more difficulty up at this weight class, 125. She won her championship at 115. Silva is an up-and-coming Brazilian who is beautiful, engaging, and can really fight, very well-rounded. She surely holds advantage here in this fight, despite the fact that these gals are only about 5 years apart. What I really like about Silva and this fight, fellas, is that the three-round fight is lined to 2.5 rounds over minus 475. These women's fights are pillow fights. They almost always go to decision. If I can grab Natalia Silva on the decision, minus 225, I believe that's how the fight ends. And then I'm going to boomerang it into that main event, as we talked just a little bit earlier, where the main event starts round three, minus 150. That parlays a plus 140. That's how I'm going to attack both the main event and Natalia Silva.
Okay, and the other big dog here is a guy who has made a lot of people a lot of money as a big dog in recent years, but you don't think it's a wise idea to blindly bet Derek Lewis this weekend, huh?
I like Derek Lewis. He's an exciting fighter. He's got maybe as much as 6 or 7 minutes of fight in him. Waldo Cordez Acosta asked for this fight. He's the younger man, the faster man, the more explosive man, maybe not the more powerful man. And yes, that price on the beast, Derek Lewis, really is enticing and it's juicy. The only problem is that if this fight gets to the second round, I think Lewis is going to be out of juice. And I'm not high on Salzaboy, Waldo Cortez Acosta, but this is a favorable matchup to him. I'm not making any position on this fight.
Fair enough. Couple of NFL games this weekend. Your best bet would be what number or what team?
Yeah, my best bet is Seattle in this spot, and it's tied neck and neck with Denver. I like home teams. I like defense. In Denver, I like altitude. I'm not afraid of Stidham. I think the reaction's been too much. But as far as the Seahawks are concerned, I believe this is Darnold's time. And while the Rams represent a huge challenge, let's not forget that on DVOA, Rams special teams, oh, by the way, they had a punt blocked against Philly, 26th in the NFL, Seattle's second. In a tight, close game among teams that are familiar with one another, give me Seattle, and I'll lay the 2.5.
All right, buddy.
Very good.
The DVOA thing with the special teams could absolutely play a huge factor in that game.
I mean, when we get this close and this far, special teams is a third of the game, and it's important.
Very true. Thanks, Lou. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to talk to you.
Continue watching. Great show.
Appreciate it. Follow Lou on X at GamLou. Podcast is called Bout Business, and he does his weekly UFC write-ups on the website at vsin.com.
Yeah, he's right. Ask Miami. Special teams huge.
No doubt. Ask those Packers teams.
Yes.
The Saints had some, this goes back to Sean Payton, Saints with Drew Brees, some bad special teams years, and they would never make the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about the team that actually won it, but other teams that won a lot of games would always come back and haunt them. He's right. This time of year, that can be a third of the game that you're talking about. Shahid is so dangerous, too. You said something yesterday.
Out of bounds.
Punt
it out of bounds. Kick it through the end zone. Don't mess around.
All right, so Sean Payton told us Jared Stidham is going to let it rip. Then some of his prop numbers are too low based on Denver's season with Bo Nix, in my opinion. I'll explain coming up next. I think I would be about five shots under today at the American Express. I'm not a very good golfer.
yeah.
Two guys right now in the clubhouse, Cody and Minwoo Lee, 10 under, round one. You have McCarty is 10 under. He's through 16. He could, in theory, finish 12 under.
Yeah.
Which would be a 60. You have Siwoo Kim, Scottie Scheffler, and Whaley are all 9 under for the day. And a bunch of guys are at 8. Your guy, Ben Griffin's at 8. He's only through 15. Bobby Max at 8. He's playing number 19 right now. Wow. And as everybody said, this is going to play super easy. Matt Brown, who hosts long shots here on the network, is like, throw a dart at some of these long shots because they have a good chance to actually be in the mix
yep.
the entire time. And now, like, almost, well, not everybody, but for the most part, you're seeing just a ton of dudes post really low numbers today.
It's unfortunate you gave up on golf. I know you gave it a shot with the lessons, but it's so frustrating, the swing coach and everything. And I know Butch Harmon reached out to me once, and I just like, no, I'm not going to embarrass myself. You're not going from Tiger Woods to Paulie. Not happening. But it's just, it's only the sport. The only sport you can play is you get older. And there's so many beautiful courses out here. It's an absolute disgrace that I haven't taken this game up.
Well, me too.
And this sport. And there's, it's an unbelievable feeling, whether it's a long putt, a great drive, or a nice chip, to nail it in the satisfaction.
Oh, it's so good. And that's what, when I do that 3 times over 18 holes, I'm like, why can't I do it more often? But that's why I want to come back and play again.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the reason, I think some people can relate to this, for those who have had lessons, I was actually trending in the right direction. The guy had me in the perfect spot. It was like lesson number 3. I'm hitting everything straight and everything right down the middle, right? The next lesson, he told me to do something that jerked with my swing, and I lost everything mentally. And so, and I don't want to get too hardcore into it, but my wife and I were taking lessons at the same time. Let's just say that he was concentrating on her.
Oh, no.
Oh, the whole time.
I'm really?
Like, I told her, I'm like, I'm out. I'm never going back to the guy. Because he didn't, and I'm trying to explain to him, but now this is doing, what you told me to do is now doing this, and I can't get it back. Ah, you'll figure it out.
I picked it up in high school, and then it messed with my baseball swing.
The 100%.
All of a sudden, I was picking up golf, and I couldn't hit a damn baseball.
No, because you think that you're just going to go out there, and you're going to hit it as hard as possible. You're swinging for the fences every single time. Okay, so this is a... We're going to get into props for the AFC, the NFC title game coming up.
Can I say something quickly, too? Because there's so much going on. Pay attention to the college basketball schedules and stuff, too. And there was a good write-up on VSiN.com, but because of this Arctic blast and the weather, they have to maneuver and move games up or what's getting canceled and postponed. So pay attention to that because this is going to be a monster all over the East Coast, and I know they're getting hit in Dallas this weekend, too.
Well, we had super early games this morning. For example,
there were a couple, yeah.
You see, Marshall scored like 115 points today. They made 26 threes in their game. So we had morning games, and that's as a result of what Paulie's talking about. This, okay, I think the Stidham props are fascinating.
Yep.
So this is his head coach. Like, what's the game plan going to be, man? You're going to come out, be conservative, run the football. You might get Dobbins back, right? Is that going to be the game plan? Here's Sean Payton. This week to the media.
He's going to rip it, you know? And that'll be our approach. I mean, hey, he's got this calm demeanor that I think suits him well. He's played in big games, college, and, you know, I said this at the start of the season. I felt like our two was inside the best 32. And I think everyone feels that way, but that's why that sign was important.
So I think it's this is correlated, right? And an hour ago, Paul Charchian came on. If you missed it, I would highly advise you go back and listen to the breakdown of his best player props for the weekend. It's in the Follow the Money podcast. He is all about Harvey under rushing yards because of this mm-hmm. like elite Patriots rush defense when they're healthy. And I don't think they're going to run the football either on him. So that plays into Stidham passing the ball. And if his head coach is saying to us he's going to let it rip, his attempts prop, for example, is 32.5. Bo Nix went over that number 12 times this year. His completions prop is 19.5. Nix went over that 12 times. His passing yards prop is 197.5. Nix went over that number 11 times, right? Like, there's not going to be...
You know what? I think we're getting this wrong. Number one, look at the total.
Oh, we're going to get points?
Yes. How bad has this Denver defense been?
Yeah, it hasn't been great.
Right now, they have the pass rush, and can they protect May? Maybe the answer is no, and you saw what Houston did to him, and Campbell had a rough game. But the fact that this guy's been a veteran, and with the how well coached he's been in the stops, as Hoyer alluded to, and also Palmer, and a guy who's lit it up in a couple games, maybe he comes out and he plays well, and we get a high-scoring game. And if that happens, there are going to be some big props that cash. And the one I mentioned earlier, both quarterbacks to complete 25 passes, is 28-1.
Weren't you on? Didn't you like advise that prop earlier this year and it cashed?
Yes.
I thought it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You recall the quarterbacks?
It was a Thursday night game, I think. I forgot.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, that's a juicy payout. And also the, you know, the touchdown and field goal each half, those are 14-1. Big prices out there. So maybe we get a high scoring game, and then maybe it's the NFC game that's low scoring and we don't have fireworks. But, you know, this one's tough again because it's only the seventh time that a guy is making his first start of the season in the playoffs. The previous six are 1-5, and it's the first time in history that a quarterback is throwing his first pass of the season in a playoff game. So who admits the ultimate? I told you so.
I know.
Like Peyton bragging, all these former players and guys who know him, played with him, he'll be fine, let it rip. Or it's, come on, told you. The line move was correct.
Yeah.
You can't overcome losing Knicks. He's only won one game in his career. He hasn't thrown a pass in 3 years. What were we doing? What were we thinking? But I have to agree with Peyton that he will do this, and not to mention what our guest Chad Andrus said Tuesday, that he is stubborn and doesn't like to run the ball. Case in point last week, where you're going against a team that's 28th against the run in the mainstream stats and 31st in DVOA, and he's pass, 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 pass.
Yeah, that's, I mean, again, go back to last week, tie that into this Patriots team. If Harvey's going to run the ball six times last week, and got nothing going the entire against the Bills' rush defense, one of the worst in football.
On the heels of what Cohen did and how Jacksonville went right down the field on a drive just
running
it. That's
right. So now Peyton's going to flip that because Bo Nix is out and say, you know what, I made a mistake by not running the ball a lot against Buffalo's weak run defense. So let me flip it this week against a team that's way better than Buffalo doing exactly what I just talked about. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So are you on board for like Sutton props?
See, that's what I don't know. I mean, there's some good stuff there with Sutton. I would think he'd go to Sutton, but then again, the guy didn't have a catch till the fourth quarter last week. And then what's the availability of the other guys?
Right, that's big.
I can't believe was it Franklin? Bryant had the concussion.
That's right.
The guy was carted off on a backboard, and he might play? And that's his second concussion?
In three weeks?
But it looks like he's going to play. Okay. But that's, and so the other guy's out rather, because that was a hammy. But
that's Franklin.
Thank you. But that's, I don't know who he's going to throw to.
Well, that's, I think, again, that ties into how you can attack the Patriots defense, and it's going to be a lot of RJ Harvey in the air.
Yeah.
I don't see books up with receptions yet on him.
You know, there's another good angle, too. And Chris Massaro's going to get into this tomorrow. I think the Patriots are flying out Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. This altitude could be a big deal, too. That's a whole other ballgame. You're on the road. It's altitude. It's a house of horrors for them.
Yeah.
They're 0-4 all time in the playoffs in Denver. Maybe Peyton pulls this off. Yeah. I certainly don't like that. Altitude or no altitude. I don't like flying out Saturday night.
I don't like the way that sounds. Stidham projects for 1.69 INTs, courtesy of OptaAI on vsin.com. You got to pay close to $2 for him to throw an INT. I think he's going to throw one.
What do you think of May?
Throwing one or getting...
Talking about how we're so good in the regular season, but he hasn't played well in the playoffs.
Playing better,
and it's his first road playoff start.
Playing better defenses will do that to a guy, right?
Doubt.
So he put up MVP numbers against that week of a schedule. Like, again, it's not a knock. I love the guy. I think he's fantastic. But as you progress in the playoffs, you would expect you're playing better teams, so it's not going to be as easy. No.
And it was. He was not playing well.
I like what Andrus said the other day, though, too, with us. He said some people will confuse a really good defensive line for a really good defense.
Uh-huh.
And he said they have maybe the best defensive line, but he said it's not a great defense. And I think both of those comments are true. And they will. And May is a very sackable quarterback.
Yep.
He took the fourth most in the regular season, a lot. So I want to play sack props again this week, and I think that pressure is going to get to him a lot. And he
turned it over against the Texans.
Right.
And he had that bad interception against the Chargers.
If they turn the ball over, if they play turnover-free football, I think the Patriots win the game. But that, you know, easier said than done.
If you love the moments that make sports betting unforgettable, don't miss the top 10 most memorable sports betting moments of 2025, hosted by Tim Murray, Tuesday, January 27th, 1 p.m. Eastern, the biggest swings, finishes, most unforgettable tickets. How about Dave Ross with his Blue Jays ticket? Where did Pa has come from? What a World Series. How about me with DeMarcado dropping a ball at the one-yard line? Bye-bye, Survivor. Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
1 Eastern, only on VSiN. Can't wait.
I want the New England perspective next. We're going to get it. Andy Gresh is going to join the program coming up next. What does he make of the drop-off from Knicks to Stidham? We'll ask him coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.